I want to start by asking you a question. Has God ever told you to do something that made no sense to you? Like maybe it was give this money to this person, even though you have no idea what they're going to do with it. Quit that job, even though you love that job and it provides a good income for you. God says, I want you to leave that job behind. Or maybe start this business, start this new venture, even though the economy is in bad shape and you have no guarantees whatsoever, but God says, here's what I want you to do. Has anyone had anything like that where God told you something and made no sense? A few nodding heads. Okay, it's those times when you know God is speaking to you and you say to yourself, I'm pretty sure this is God, but this just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see how this is possibly going to work out. We're going to take a look at an example of a man that happened to in the Old Testament. His name is Abram. He's later known as Abraham. And his story is in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Here's what it says. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So God says to this man, Abram, he says, I want you to leave behind everything you're familiar with, your familiar surroundings. Take your wife and all of your possessions. Just pack up and leave and go to another place. Now, what's interesting is what God didn't say. God didn't say, Abram, I want you to leave here and go to this place instead. He didn't tell him where he was going. God didn't say, leave here, go to this place, and I'll tell you exactly where that is. God doesn't do that. He had no idea where God was calling him to go. God just basically says to him, Abram, I want you to pack up all your stuff and just start walking. Okay, God, where are we going? I'll tell you when you get there. Now, if God said something like that to you, true or false, you'd have some questions. Right? You'd probably talk with some other people and say, okay, is this accurate? Am I really hearing right from God? You might kind of come up with some reasons or some excuses as to why to say no to that. It would probably take some time, wouldn't it? There would be a process where it would take some time as you're trying to decide, am I actually going to do this? Or is this just crazy and I'm not, there's no way in the world I'm going to do this. What's amazing is what verse 4 tells us. Verse 4 says this. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. So God says, Abram, I want you to leave everything behind, pack up your stuff, and just start going. I'll tell you when you get there. And Abram does exactly what God tells him to do. And that's why he's known as a man of faith. What's interesting is what else it says in verse 4. The next part of verse 4 says this. Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. That's his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, 75 years old. So he's established, right? He's got roots. This is all he's known his entire life. This is his home. This is where his family lives. And now he's 75 years old. It's time to just settle down. It's time to just retire. It's time to just stop working and just kind of rest and enjoy the rest of his life, right? God says, nope, I'm not finished with you yet. There's a lot more yet to come, and you have no idea how far-reaching this is going to be. And Abram said yes. And because of his obedience, a nation was established. Because of his obedience, we have an entire Old Testament filled with stories of kings and heroes. Because of his obedience, we have the book of Psalms filled with these amazing songs and worship songs and prayers to God that inspire our faith. Because of his obedience, we have books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that give us God's wisdom in our everyday lives. Because Abram obeyed God, we have story after story after story of God's miracle working power, of God's faithfulness, God's love, and God's deliverance all through the nation of Israel's history. And because of Abram's obedience, one day a Savior was born. And all of that was made possible because when God said, here's what I want you to do, one man said, yes. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 11:8. It says it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's the story of Abraham. And some of you may not know this, but that's also the story of the Encounter Church. Back in 2008, Sheila and Kaylee and I lived in Arizona. I was pastoring a church out there. We had been there for 8 years. And actually, we're coming up. This will be the longest church I've ever been in about 2 months. We've been out there for 8 years, and God began to make it clear to us that it was time for us to leave that church and to leave Arizona. And at that point, we had been married for 18 years. Kaylee was 10 years old. I was approaching my 40th birthday. And we had just bought a house about a year before that. And God is saying, you're going to leave. And he made it very clear that August 31st would be our last Sunday there. And we had no idea, okay, so what happens on September 1st? Like, what do we do next? We had no clue what God was leading us into. We had no idea what was going to be next. So we quit our jobs. Sheila was a teacher at the high school. I was a pastor at the church. We quit our jobs, sold the house we had just bought, packed up everything we owned, and moved across the country. With no idea where we were going to end up, no idea where we were going to settle in and become our new home, no idea what we were going to do for an income, what our jobs were going to be. We had no idea of any of that. We had tons of questions, but all we knew was this: God said go, and so we did. And for about the next 5 years, we both knew very well the feeling of verse 9. It says, even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. When we came to Bainbridge, we didn't come here because we knew people. We didn't know anybody here. We had no idea why we were here, what God wanted us to do here, or how long we were going to be here. We had a ton of questions that God didn't answer right away. For a while, we went to LCBC, and that was a good thing for us. We attended there for a few years, and it was a nice change for us to be able to go to church together as a family and leave together as a family without me having to check to make sure the lights got turned off or the thermostat got reset or the doors were locked or any of that kind of stuff. We were able to go worship together, be fed together, and leave together, and that's it. And it was so refreshing for us, and we needed that for a time. But after a couple of years of that, we began to feel that tug inside of our hearts. We need to be doing something. It's good that we're getting fed, but we need to start serving too. We need to start getting involved in using the gifts that God has given us. And so we tried. And through no fault of anyone at that church, we tried several different ways to get involved, and every single opportunity was closed to us. So we thought, well, maybe God is telling us to do something closer to Bainbridge. And so we visited some of the churches in this area and tried some different things there, and just nothing was right for us. Nothing clicked. Nothing. There was nothing where we sensed God saying, this is the place and this is what you're supposed to do. And around that time, we were getting to know people in town and hearing their stories and finding out their needs and trying to figure out ways to help people as much as we could. And one day as we were talking about all this, Sheila said something that completely shocked me. She said, maybe God brought us here to start a church. Now, let me give you some backstory on my wife, Sheila. When I asked Sheila to marry me, her immediate response to that question was not yes or no. Her immediate response to that question was, you're not going to be a pastor, are you? And the answer to that question was no, I wasn't. I had no intention of being a pastor, and she didn't want to be a pastor's wife. And God did some things in both of us that changed all of that. And I think we would all agree she's an amazing pastor's wife. I am so thankful for Sheila. You can clap for that, absolutely. And I have to tell you, I wouldn't be able to accomplish a quarter of the things I do without her by my side. If it wasn't for Sheila and her faith and her persistent prayers, we wouldn't be in this building right now. When we were meeting in the fire hall and looking at this building and trying to figure out, is there any way possible for this to become our church home? She was the only one who continued to believe God's going to provide it. And her faith and her prayers paid off. And we're in this building because of her faithfulness. I'm very thankful for my wife. And so as we're talking about some of the needs that we were seeing, she said, I wonder if God brought us here to start a church. And so we prayed about it, and God made it clear that that's why we were here. So on November 17th, 2013, this is a few weeks before that. I look a lot different there. That's before gray started invading my beard. But on that date, November 17th, 2013, 13 people gathered together up here in the fire hall, and the Encounter Church was born on that day. And everything you and I are a part of right now, that was the beginning of it. That was the starting point. Now, over the years, and some of this happened around the time we started the church, there was a couple of questions that people would ask me sometimes. The first question was, why does Bainbridge need another church? There's already churches here. What's the point of starting another church? How is this church going to be any different from the other churches in town? That was one question. Another question people have asked me at times is, why would you do this? Why would you start a church? At the time, I was a full-time mobile therapist at Philhaven, which is a very challenging job. I was doing that full-time, plus I was teaching classes at Messiah College, plus doing this. And so people would ask me, why are you doing all of this? Why are you investing time in starting a church in a town where there's already several churches? So I want to talk with you for a few minutes today about why we do what we do. And I want to start by listing some of the things we've done over the last 8 years as a church. Some of these things we continue to do. Some of these were kind of one and done. But here's some of what we've done over the last 8 years. Free gift wrapping, scarf bombing, gift card giveaways, free popcorn, free ice cream, yard cleanup for people that have trouble getting out of the house, cleaning the post office, giveaways at community days, comfort station for moms at old-fashioned field days, giving away diapers and books. During COVID, I drove around town delivering toilet paper and hand sanitizer, giving welcome baskets to newcomers to Bainbridge, bottles of water on the trail, bottles of water on Memorial Day, backpacks and school supplies for families in town, movies at the park, movies in the parking lot, Kanoi Coffee doing coffee and baked goods and raising funds to give away to people that are having financial struggles, going around door to door, praying for people who have needs. Those are some of the things we've done as a church over the last 8 years. So why do we do those things? Like, this is church. Isn't church when you just come into a building and you sit in rows and stare at the back of someone else's head and sing some songs and listen to a sermon and then go out and maybe come back the next week? Isn't that what church is supposed to be? Why do we do all this other stuff? Here's what church is supposed to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus says this, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Jesus said, "Let your light shine." If you're a follower of Jesus, you have something others desperately need. If you're a follower of Christ, he lives inside of you, and you have something to share. You have something to give. You have something to offer that can make an eternal impact on someone else's life. He says, let your light shine. Where? Before others. In other words, it's not about just coming into a building. It's about what we do out there. And over the next few verses, he says, make sure that this light, make sure you're not hiding it. Make sure you're not keeping it to yourself, because it's for you, but it's not only for you. It's for others as well. See, the church is supposed to live out what it means to follow Jesus in front of others, where they can see the life of God, the light that he offers, the hope that he offers, and they can be changed by that same hope that has changed us. That's why we're here, not just in here, but out there as well. So why do we do what we do? Because we all need Jesus. Dark needs light. And we all know this. People are looking for answers. Because every single person struggles with something. Whether it's loneliness or addictions or confusion and uncertainty, struggles in relationships, depression, sickness, guilt, everyone struggles with something. And Jesus is the light in the darkness. He is the answer for all of it. If you're lonely, he's a constant companion. If you're struggling with an addiction, Jesus said, "I came to set captives free." If you have uncertainty and confusion, he is our wisdom. If you're struggling with depression, he came to give us joy. If you're struggling in a relationship, he is the Prince of Peace. If you're sick, he is our healer and our comforter. And if you're wrestling with guilt and shame, Jesus paid a high price for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the answer to all of it. The needs of mankind, the needs of those who you know and see every single day, Jesus is the answer to all of it. And that's why we're here, to share that truth, because everyone needs Christ. What's amazing to me, as I look at the ministry of Jesus, is that he meets us exactly where we are. That our needs matter to him. What do you see Jesus doing in his earthly ministry? You see him doing things like healing the sick, feeding the hungry, showing love to the outcasts, calming the storms, doing those kinds of things, and then sharing truth with people. Saying things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And over again in Jesus' ministry, we see this pattern. He starts with people's needs, ministering to them at their point of need, and then he speaks truth into their life. He starts by showing them love in tangible ways that affect their lives. And then he tells them the truth behind all of that, the reality of what God wants to do in their lives. That's what Jesus did, and he's called us to do the same. So why do we do the stuff we do? Because Jesus loves Bainbridge. He loves your neighbors. He loves your coworkers, the people you see at the post office, the people you buy your groceries from, the people who work on your car, the people who serve you in the restaurants, the people that you drive by every day and wave to them and they wave back. Jesus knows and loves every single one of them. And we want to do everything we can do to show them that love. Let your light shine, Jesus said, before others, so they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. Why? To glorify the Father. In other words, to point them towards him, to shine a spotlight on this amazing God who created us and who loves us so much. And speaking of this Father, this is one of my favorite verses. James 1:17 says this, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens." Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we experience this 1,000 times every day without even realizing it. Every time you see a beautiful sunrise or sunset and it just captivates your attention. Every time you have a meaningful conversation with a friend and you come away encouraged from that. Every time you enjoy a great meal and you're just like, wow, that was awesome. That was so good. We got to do that again. Or every time you hear a song that just ignites something inside of you and you say, I've got to hear that again. Every time you're struggling, you're wrestling with something, and somebody speaks into your life a word of encouragement, and all of a sudden you realize you're not alone. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From God the Father. All of those moments in our lives, every single one of them, and 1,000 more, that's God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I just want you to know, I'm here. I love you. You're not going through this alone. And that's why we do what we do. Because we want to be that tap on the shoulder for as many people as possible. So when we give a child an ice cream cone, or hand someone a bag of popcorn, or give a bottle of water to someone who's thirsty on Memorial Day, when we give a gift card to a complete stranger in a grocery store, or Kanoi Coffee raises money to help out a family they've never met before, but they have a need, when we do those things, why do we do them? We are saying to them, this is a gift from your Father. The God who created heaven and earth, the very God who spoke galaxies into existence, he knows you by name. And he sees what you're going through. And he's giving you this gift through us so you will know you're not alone. He cares for you. He loves you. And he's here for you. That's why we do what we do. We're a gathering of imperfect people seeking to know and experience God. And we want to invite as many people as possible into that life, into that love, into that encounter. And the reason all of that happens, the reason this church exists is very simple. It's because God wanted it to. God put it in our hearts, and all we did is we said yes to him. The question for everyone here today is this. What is he putting on your heart to do? What is that need that pulls at your heart, that need that ignites something inside of you, that you feel that nudge, that you see that need, and just something comes alive inside of you? What is that for you that God is saying to you that you need to say yes back to him? One day God said to a man named Abram, who was 75 years old, I know you want to just retire and settle down, but that's not going to happen because I'm not finished with you yet. There's so much more that's about to happen in your life, and you have no idea how far-reaching all of this is going to be. What if God is saying that to you as well? Because amazing things happen when God says, here's what I want you to do, and a man or a woman simply says, yes, Lord. That's the story of Abraham, who left his home behind and went to a place he knew nothing about, and started a nation because of his obedience to God. It's the story of Esther, who stood up in the face of tyranny and risked her own life to stand up on behalf of her people, and a nation was rescued because of that. It's the story of David, facing down Goliath on the field of battle. It's the story of the disciples, simple fishermen, leaving everything behind and following this little-known traveling preacher. And as a result of their saying yes to him, they turned the world upside down. It's the story of every example that grabs our attention, that inspires our faith. God says, here's what I want you to do. And someone simply says, yes, Lord. And that's the story of this church. And it can be the story of your life. What is God saying to you? And what's your response to him? So God, this morning, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. As just looking back over these past 8 years, and just, I'm just amazed, God, at what you've done. And I thank you so much for your faithfulness. Right now, we are experiencing the answers to prayers that were prayed 7, 8 years ago. And we didn't see it happening back then, and there were discouraging days. But right now, we're experiencing the answers to those faithful prayers over the years. And I thank you so much for that, God. And we look forward to what we're going to see happen over the next few years as the prayers we're praying right now, as we see answers to those coming soon. Thank you for the work you're doing. And thank you that you invite us to be a part of that, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you, to live out our lives, to shine your light, so that others will see this amazing Father who loves us, and give glory to him and be absolutely transformed by your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.